Turn with me this evening in your Bibles to Matthew, the 26th chapter. Begin reading with the 69th verse. Matthew, the 26th chapter, beginning with the 69th verse. This is a story that is surrounding the time of Jesus' crucifixion. And then we'll also be looking at something that occurred in this same story, a continuation of it, after Jesus' resurrection. But you know, the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus has a great effect on the lives of every one of us here. But I think as we look in the Scripture, we find that it had a great effect on the life of Peter. And we'll be looking this evening at what happened to Peter during that night of Jesus' trial just before his resurrection, and then the incident that happened after Jesus' resurrection when he appeared to Peter, and how that affected Peter and what he did. And I think we can learn something in our own lives of how we ought to live and serve God and follow him as Peter did. Matthew, the 26th chapter, and I'm going to read the 58th verse and then skip over to the 69th. It says, "But Peter followed him afar off into the high priest's palace and went in and sat with the servants to see the end." And with the 69th verse, it says, "Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also was with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, Surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Then he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the words of Jesus, which said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Most gracious God and Heavenly Father, we are indeed thankful for this day and for the blessings that you've given us. Father, we're thankful for this opportunity to stop and to remember the cruel death and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Father, we're so thankful that Jesus was indeed willing to leave the glories of heaven, to walk on this earth in the body of a man, to allow himself to be rejected, humiliated, betrayed, beaten, and nailed to a cross. Father, we're so thankful that he was willing to give himself a sacrifice to you for our sins. And Father, we celebrate his resurrection, and our hearts rejoice in his resurrection, that through the blood of Christ we have a hope tonight, and not only in this life, but in life eternal. Father, we ask that you be with us tonight as we study your word, that you would send your Spirit, that he would move among us, that he would touch our hearts, that he would give us understanding of your word, and Father, in studying your word, that we might learn how we might become better servants of you. Father, we ask tonight that everything that's said and done would be in accordance with your will, and that you would receive all the praise and the honor and the glory for all that's accomplished. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When we look at Peter and look at his life, he was a pretty confident man. He didn't think that anything would keep him from following Christ and serving him. He was even willing, he said, to go to the death to follow Jesus. Now, ultimately, that was true. And Peter did give his life as a martyr for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But at this point, he hadn't quite grown there yet. And I think that's something that we need to recognize in our lives, that we need to continually grow in our relationship with our Lord and Savior, that we need to continually learn and improve ourselves as we seek to serve God. And we also need a little dose of humility. And I think that was one of the things that came out of the situation with Peter, is that he learned some humility. He learned to be humble in the presence of Jesus. And that's something that's important for all of us. We must learn to be humble in the presence of Jesus. And if we recognize ourselves for who we are, when we are standing in the presence of God, there is no other way we can be but humble. We look within our own hearts and lives and we see that there's sin. We look at God and we look at Christ and we see perfection. We see holiness. So how can we be any other way than humble in our sin as we look at a perfect God? Peter decided that he was going to go into the palace of the high priest the night of Jesus' arrest. And there were a couple of things that Peter did that I think we need to be very careful about as he went and as he followed him. First of all, it said he followed afar off. He was staying away from Christ. And as we see him following afar off, it was evident at that point that he really didn't want to be associated with Jesus. He was just curious as to what was going on, and he wanted to see, as it says, he wanted to see the end. He wanted to see what was going to happen in that situation. And how many times do we find ourselves following Christ afar off? And I think for us what that means is we want to follow Christ, but we don't want anybody else to know that we're following Jesus. We don't want people to know of our relationship with Christ. We don't want people to know that we are close to our Lord and Savior. We don't want to live our lives in such a way that people associate us with Jesus and they see that there is something different in our lives. When Peter went into the palace courtyard that night, he didn't appear any different than anyone else there initially. When we go into the world, need to appear different. People need to see that there's something different about us. Rather than following Christ afar off, we need to be following closely to Jesus. And something else that he did is he went in and he mingled among the servants of the high priest. He was in mingling among the servants of those who were acting in an ungodly way. And for us, it's also something that we must be careful about, is that as we go about into the world attempting to serve our Lord and Savior, that we not mingle with those who are ungodly or mingle with those who are serving those who are ungodly, because all that's going to do is pull us further and further away from our Lord. It's important that as God's people that we find time, that we take the opportunity to be with others who are God's children and others who are serving God closely, because that gives us strength. That gives us encouragement. That helps us to see the strength of Christ. And so it's important that we mingle together as God's people and that we serve God together. And so here was Peter in the midst of these people. Now, Peter had been with Christ for some time. And in fact, Peter was one of those three apostles who was probably closer to Christ than the other apostles. Because very often Jesus would call Peter, James, and John aside. And you remember that just previous to this incident, when Jesus had gone into the garden to pray, he left most of his disciples behind, but he brought Peter, James, and John a little bit further with him and asked them to wait and to pray with him as he went further into the garden to pray. And so here was a man, Peter, that knew Jesus intimately. And so here, a damsel comes up and says that she had seen him. But Peter denied, says, before them all. And he said that he did not know what she meant. And so it wasn't just Peter quietly denying in front of this one person who was saying that she thought that he was one of the followers of Jesus, but he stood up and he denied in front of everyone that he was a follower of Christ. And then there came someone else along. And that person came to the porch when he was gone out to the porch, and another maid saw him and said that this fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth. And this time he denied, but he denied even stronger. He denied with an oath and he said, "I know not the man." And isn't that interesting how that happened? That as he moved from one step to another, that his denial got stronger. And isn't that interesting in our own lives, that as we are disobedient to God, as we go from one disobedience to another, that sometimes that disobedience becomes stronger and we become more set in that disobedience. And that's what had happened to Peter. And then a third time, there was one who came to him and said, "Surely you're one of them, because your speech bewrayeth thee." That what Peter was saying, his accent, how he talked, they knew that he had been with Christ. But again, He took it even a step further, and he began to curse and to swear, and he said, I know not the man. And so here is Peter. Jesus had told him before he had left and before he had gone out that night that Peter would deny him three times before the cock crowed that night. And so here, Peter has denied Jesus three times, and it said that immediately the cock crowed. And as that cock crowed, it brought the remembrance to Peter's mind of what Jesus had said. And when Peter remembered the words of Jesus, it says that he went out and he wept bitterly. Jesus had warned Peter of what was going to happen, and Peter in his confidence thought that would never happen to him. But it had. And he was greatly saddened for what he had done. And I wonder, though, when we deny Christ, how do we respond? Do we respond in that same way? You know, Peter could have just kind of sloughed it off and said, oh, well, I did some things that I shouldn't have, but it's no big deal, and I'll just go on now. But, you know, we deny Christ. We deny Christ every day because every time that we sin, we are, in a sense, denying Christ. Because if we claim to be a follower of Jesus and we sin, then we are not following Jesus in that sin. And so when we sin, and particularly when we sin and others see it, we are denying Christ publicly. And when we have sinned, it is very often brought to our minds and brought to our attention of the sin that we have committed. But how do we react to that sin? The world tells us that there's really nothing to worry about because in the world, most sin is accepted. It's okay to be disobedient to God. But for us, within our hearts and our minds and our souls, we understand that it's not okay to be disobedient to God. And so who do we listen to? Do we listen to the voice of the world that says, do what you want to, it's okay? Or do we listen to the voice of God that says that's sin? And as a child of God, we should be ashamed of the sin that we've committed. We should be sorry for the sin that we've committed. And when it's brought to our minds, the reaction that we have ought to be the same reaction that Peter had. We ought to weep bitterly when we realize that we've sinned. There ought not to be a single child of God who would ever just let sin pass by and not think about it. And not be ashamed and embarrassed for our sin and repentant for our sin, because that's what was happening in Peter's heart now as he realized the sin that he had committed and he went out and he began to weep bitterly over that sin. He was sorry for the sin that he had committed. And he was, I believe, within the heart of Peter that there was some repentance for that sin. I would think probably for Peter this was one of the lowest moments in his life. Here, Jesus, probably Peter's closest friend. Jesus was in a time of need. Jesus was going through a very difficult time himself. If you read the account, this is when he was going through that mockery of a trial that he went through. When he was made fun of, when he was spit upon, when he was slapped. And with all of that going on with Peter's best friend, rather than Peter being able to stop and to consider and to pray, he's out in the courtyard denying that he even knows Jesus. And when he recognized that, that brought him to a low point in his life. And that's the way that it ought to be with sin in our lives. When we recognize that there's sin in our lives, it ought to bring us to a low point. It ought to bring us to a low enough point, as it did with Peter, that we go out and we weep bitterly over our sin, that there's repentance in our heart for the sin. And that's what happened with Peter. But you know, it's also a wonderful thing to know that we have a gracious and a loving God. Peter had sinned. Peter had sinned greatly in his denial of Jesus. But over in John, the 21st chapter, in the 15th verse, we see kind of an epilogue to Peter's denial of Jesus. So when they had dined, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Peter had denied Jesus three times. And I can imagine for Peter, it must have been somewhat uncomfortable for him to even have been in the presence of Jesus. Because he knew, Jesus knew what he'd done. He knew who Jesus was. He knew that he was the Son of God. And knowing that he was the Son of God, he knew that Jesus knew all things. And so there was no doubt in the mind of Peter that Jesus knew exactly what he'd done. And I wonder if Peter wasn't, when he was in the presence of Jesus, wondering, okay, what's going to happen now? What kind of reaction is Jesus going to have? You know, most of us, if someone had treated us like Peter treated Jesus, we'd say, I don't want anything else to do with you. And I wonder if Peter might not have been afraid that was what was going to happen to him. But truly, Peter loved Jesus. I don't think there's any question about that. Amen. But he had denied him. And he wondered, I would think, what is Jesus' reaction going to be to my denial of him? What's going to happen? You know, for Peter, it would have been a tragic thing if Jesus had said, Peter, you're no longer worthy to be with this group of people. You just got to go away. But Jesus spoke to Peter. And I believe, well, I know Jesus knew what was in Peter's heart. He knew that he was sorry for the sin that he had committed. He knew that he had repented of that sin. And just as he knew that Peter had denied him, he also knew that Peter had went out and wept bitterly after he had denied him. And so Peter comes to Jesus, or Jesus comes to Peter, and he asks him one time, Peter, do you love me? And Peter answered, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus knew that. But he asked him a second time. And he said, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he said unto him the third time, You know that I love you. And then he asked him the third time. And I've just got to believe that when Jesus asked Peter the third time, it brought back those feelings that night. Because it says that Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And I believe that's the reason that Peter was grieved. Because he had denied Jesus three times, and Jesus was now asking him three times, Do you love me, Peter? And again, I believe that he was saddened and he was repentant in what he had done. And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And I believe that there was emotion pent up in the voice of Peter as he said that. And I believe that there would have been no doubt among anyone who heard Peter say those words that he truly loved Jesus. But I think also, as he spoke to Peter, that Peter also began to understand that indeed he had sinned. He had sinned greatly. But he had repented of that sin, and Jesus had forgiven him of his sin. What a wonderful thing that is. And you see, had it not been for Jesus going through what he went through that night as Peter was in the courtyard, and later Jesus being beaten and having a crown of thorns placed upon his head and being nailed to the cross and shedding his blood and offering himself as a sacrifice to God for our sins and then being resurrected, Peter could not have been forgiven for those sins. The death and resurrection of Jesus means as much to every one of us, because we've denied Christ, we've sinned, we've been disobedient. And just as Peter and his repentance was forgiven, we as God's children, if we're repentant of our sins, we're forgiven. That should be our attitude. And you know, there was true repentance in the heart of Peter, because we see a different man from the night that he was in the garden from that time forth, or in the courtyard from that time forth. Peter was the man that stood up at Pentecost and preached that fiery sermon. Peter was one of the disciples who went before the council and said, it's better to obey God than men. He's one of those who rejoiced when he went out after he had been beaten and continued to preach the name of Jesus daily in the temple, even after he'd been warned. And Peter gave his life in service to Jesus. It made a difference in Peter's life. And I would think that today, as we think about the death and the resurrection of Christ, that it ought to make a difference in our lives.
Amen.
We're sinners. The blood of Christ has taken our sin away. We are eternally saved. But we still sin, and we should be repentant of that sin and seek God's forgiveness now, that we might serve Him and that we might follow Him. There ought to be a difference in our lives as there was a difference in the life of Peter. And I believe if we truly understood the cross and what it means to us, if we truly understood forgiveness, that it would make that kind of a difference in our lives. Peter understood it because he had sinned greatly. God had forgiven him. Jesus had forgiven him. He understood what that meant, and it changed his life. We need to consider what the cross means. We need to consider what that forgiveness means. And there ought to be evidence in our lives of that. There was evidence in the life of Peter. He was a different man. We ought to be different people from this day forward as we think about that and as we repent of the sins that we've committed. In the 19th verse, after Jesus had spoken to Peter, it says, This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. That was the command that he gave to Peter. And Peter did just that. From that day forward, Peter followed Jesus. He gave up everything that he had that he might follow Christ. And I believe that as we repent and as we are forgiven of our sins, that same command is given to us today. Follow me. If the cross of Christ means anything to us, if the sacrifice that Jesus made means anything to us, if forgiveness of our sins means anything to us, then we will follow Christ. Are we this evening ready to make that kind of resolution in our life as Peter did? Are we first of all truly sorry for the sins that we've committed? Or are we just kind of gloss over them and don't worry about it? The first thing that must happen is we must be truly sorry for the sins that we commit. And then do we have a desire in our hearts and our souls and with every fiber of our being that we would never sin again? That's not going to happen. Not in this life. But it should be our desire.
Amen.
We should desire that we would never sin again. And then, are we willing to do as Jesus said to Peter? Follow me. It'll make as dramatic a difference in our lives as it made in the life of Peter. My prayer that God would add his blessings to these words.